Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm your host, Tyler Waugh. One of the biggest and most difficult parts of young adulthood is your career. Whether you're choosing, studying, or just beginning your new career, the work we do can be a daunting task for young adults. In this new season of Road Trips, we'll take a look at different people in different career fields as they navigate both their faith and their careers. My guests today are Travis and Marisa White. Travis and Marisa have been educators for over 10 years and are currently working at Tipton Public Schools in Tipton, Oklahoma. Today on the show, we discuss the role faith played in choosing their career, things they do to shine their lights at their work, and advice they would give to any new and aspiring educator. Buckle up, everybody. This is Road Trips. All right, Travis and Marisa Wyatt, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us on. This is an honor to be on your podcast, Tyler.
The honor is all mine. So you've both been in education for a while now, but I'm sure that there was a time when you weren't sure where exactly to take your career. What ultimately led you both to becoming educators, and perhaps what role did your faith play in making that decision?
So both of my parents were teachers. All three of my brothers were teachers, and everybody would ask me, are you going to be a teacher too? And I'd say, no, I don't want to be a teacher. I don't know what I'm going to be, but I'm not going to be a teacher. And as Travis and I started dating our junior year in high school and then into senior year, I started kind of realizing that, you know, he wanted to be a coach and that teaching might not be terrible. And ultimately, I believe that, you know, my faith did play a part in that, because I wanted to be a wife that was present and a mother ultimately that was present. I thought I wanted to be a news broadcaster, and those hours are very difficult for main anchors. And I knew I wanted to be, you know, taking my kids to school in the mornings, and I wanted to be off when they were off during their breaks. And, you know, I wanted to be able to make it to all of their games. And teaching is probably the best family oriented field to be in. If you know, your family is your main priority, it just makes it so much easier, especially if you're in the same, school system, as your kids and your spouse. You get to be together, a lot. You get to see each other throughout the day. And, you know, you don't have to miss any of those important events or awards assemblies or ball games or anything like that. And so I think for me, wanting to be, you know, focused on family first, that led me to education. And, I realized that that was probably the best field for me to go into to make that happen.
So I think for me, I don't know that in the moment, you know, leading into my career, that I really understood the role that God was playing in our lives, if that makes sense. I mean, I think my senior year, I was getting ready to go to college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And I just had a moment that it dawned on me that I wanted to coach. And I didn't even know what I wanted to teach. I just knew that I didn't want to be out of sports necessarily. I think I've always been a competitive person in my life. And then you look at kind of how it all played out and how it's all been layered. And I think God uses you with your talents and your abilities. So, you know, we went to college, we got married early at 19 years old and went through 3 years of college together and still kind of navigating our way. You know, I spent almost 2 years as a youth minister, at University Church of Christ there. And that's kind of when it all started coming together as far as my future career and my faith. I really enjoyed being a youth minister and working with those people, but I still had an itch to coach. And I look back on it, and that's kind of just where it all started meshing together of my faith, and then maybe trying to use some talents and abilities and things the way that God created me to start a career. And that's what, you know, led us to being educators. And so I don't know, for me, that's kind of how it all unfolded. So.
That's awesome. And in any career you choose, I think you both mentioned family playing a bit of a role. Role models and mentors play such a big part in the journey of our careers. How important was it for both of you to have strong educators in your life?
I think that, you know, it's not just in the past, but, you know, in the present as well, to have strong Christian educators as friends. And I stumbled across this quote this morning. It says, "A key to growing as a teacher is to keep company mainly with teachers who uplift you, whose presence inspire you, and whose dedication drives you." And I have some of those people, you know, in my life, and it's, to me, not uncommon that they are also Christians that I go to church with. Because as Christian educators, you know, we're supposed to be the light, and we're supposed to be those positive role models, and we're supposed to be the ones uplifting one another, even our students, and helping each other in this life and career as well. And a lot of times when I'm having a rough day, you know, one of the very first people I go to is one of my best friends who I go to church with and is a Christian. And I know that she's going to hug me and encourage me and maybe even pray for me and help me to get through whatever situation, whether it's small or big. And so, you know, that's on my day-to-day life, but I'm also surrounded both sides of our families, on my side and Travis's side as well, with Christian educators. And it's encouraging, you know, to have people like that, not only in our adult life to look up to, but also for our children. You know, we're very unique in the situation that we're in here at Tipton, but, you know, I don't worry for one second what my children are being taught in school, because I know that their teachers are Christians, and mainly because their teachers are their mother or their father or their grandmother or their grandfather or aunt or uncle or whatever. And that is unique here. But it's relieving to know that I'm not going to have those conversations with my kids when they come home about, you know, evolution is not how, you know, the world came to be or whatever. So it's multifaceted, but it is extremely important to have Christian educators in our lives, not just as mentors, you know, but as coworkers and supporters, you know, just as friends getting through the everyday grind.
I think for me, I mean, I grew up watching people teach and coach that were Christians, and they did impact me a lot. I mean, my whole now my dad and all four of his brothers are educators. And of course, growing up, dad wasn't. He worked in the post office and retired from that. But it's just what I was raised with, was being around Christian educators. And, you know, my senior year, I was fortunate to get Uncle Timmy came back and was my ag teacher for my senior year. And he had already been a really big role model for me, because he had done some youth ministry work and just being my uncle. And then that was really cool to have him come in. And so I've been able to watch him, you know, maintain jobs and be an ag teacher and be a Christian. And he's been a big role model for me, keeping his faith at the forefront. And then just all of my uncles, you know, of course, I grew up watching Kenny, Uncle Kenny, coach basketball at Snyder and Cash and Tipton. And he's been in a lot of different places. And, you know, Coach Dickey was my football coach, and he was a Christian man that believed in God. And he talked to us a lot about that. And even though I was born into and raised in a Christian household, you know, he still influenced me a lot as far as being a person of morals and character and those type of things. And, you know, at the time when you're young, you may not realize some of that stuff, but those guys were, and ladies too. Obviously, my mom was a teacher, so I grew up watching her balance lesson plans and grading and doing the extra work at school and then still going to church and being a good Christian woman. And Marisa's parents were the same way. You know, she grew up watching both of her parents and her brothers be educators. And so I think we've just really had it modeled for us all the way through.
That's amazing. It's amazing that you were able to grow up around that environment. If you could go back to your high school or college selves, just knowing what you know now about your career and your faith, what would you tell your younger self?
So this is kind of a interesting question for me, and I'll have to be a little bit vulnerable on this. So this is, we're beginning our 15th year teaching this year. And I would say for the first 10 years of my teaching career, I really questioned whether it was what I was supposed to be doing with my life. And there were many, many, many years in a row where I just was not secure and I was not confident and I didn't know, you know, should I be a stay-at-home mom or should I be looking for something else that is more fulfilling or whatever. And it took several years for Travis to convince me that this is what God wants me doing and this is my path and this is my ministry and this is what God made me to do, and the talents that He has given me are best used here in education versus, you know, another career field. And so if I could go back to high school or college, I would tell myself that instead of questioning for those first 10 years or so whether what I was doing was the right thing or not. I think it was really hard for me to find my purpose or feel like this was my purpose. It was, you know, probably easier for Travis because, you know, with his success and his wins, it was probably more securing to know that you know, he's in the right area, because it was, you know, very evident that he's good at what he does. But for me, I really questioned it for a long time, especially when our daughters were so young. But within the last 5 years, I do feel like, that, you know, Travis is right and that this is where I'm supposed to be. It doesn't mean that it's not hard to go back to school, you know, in August after spending almost three months, you know, with my daughters, because as a mother, there's always going to be that pull to spend more time with my kids. But, you know, I would just encourage my younger self that this is the path that God wants me to be on. And this is the way that I can reach the most amount of students and the most amount of lives, is being in the school system, and helping to encourage and be an example and be that light for so many of the lives going through the Tipton school system.
I think just to tag on to Marisa here, I think I saw her making an impact in kids maybe easier than she did. And that's a tough job for educators, because we do have little victories where, you know, you have the aha moments where kids say, oh, thank you so much. Or, you know, kids that you taught formerly come back and say, man, you really made an impact. You know, those things keep us going as educators, as teachers, as coaches. And I think I saw those things out of Marisa a little bit more than she did at times. But it's tough. And it was really tough when the girls were young. And she had some time where she worked half days a couple of years in there. And so those were all good things. But to answer the question of what would we tell our younger selves, I think we'd just say to embrace it all. I think we both at times probably fought. I know Marisa did fought towards being an educator because we saw it. We saw the struggles of it. But then, you know, now that where we're at now, it's like, man, embrace it and go all in with it, because it is rewarding. It is fulfilling. God's path for your life. Be willing to accept that. Look for Him working in your life a little bit more, and don't worry about things, because, you know, when you're young and you're in high school and first few years of college, man, it's tough. It's tough to find your way, even if you are a very faithful Christian person. It's tough. And so I think our priorities have always been family and trying to serve God, and then how can we impact other people? And it's just kind of led us here.
Yeah, really appreciate that. And And Marisa, what you were saying, I think is so good for, you know, college students, people my age to hear, because even for the first 10 years, you know, you weren't sure. Yeah. And yet it's what you kept doing. And, you know, I think there's kind of this pressure on, or at least, you know, I've put this on myself in my past and in the past, to kind of think, okay, well, if it's not like 100%, if I'm not 100% sure of this is what I have to be doing, this is where I need to be, well, then it's just not a good thing. And so, you know, hearing that is really inspiring from someone else. And it's a great blessing to have someone there encouraging you. And you're right. Sometimes, going to what, you know, Travis, you said, you know, you don't see the impact that you make a lot of the time. And you probably only do get, you know, those small moments where, you know, students come back and say, you made an impact on me. And sometimes the impact that you've made, I'm sure will never be seen or it will never be heard. But it's there. And I'm sure that that's something to keep you going and to keep you motivated. So for Travis specifically, being in coaching, your goal in coaching is to bring home more state championships. And that's an exception, especially here in Tipton. How do you stay grounded in your faith and keep your ultimate goal on Jesus? And two, what are some things that you do to your players to convey to your players that there's more to life than football and that you ultimately want them to become good men in the future?
Well, that's a lot there. I've obviously thoroughly enjoyed coaching. I think as far as coaching and my faith is concerned, there's a football quote. It's probably not one that I use the most, but I told myself this a lot, and it is, humility is only 7 days away in football. And that means that if you're feeling good, you win a game or whatever, you can be humbled very fast in football. And that can be on a play-by-play thing for players too. You're feeling good about yourself, the very next play you can get humbled. So I think that there's been a lot of times that I have been humbled in my career, but I say that also to say through all of that, I've just been really blessed to it. I've gotten a lot of attention, a lot of accolades that I don't really, I don't feel at all like they're, that I'm deserving of it, because I've been around so many great players, through the years and so many great coaches, that I've been able to work with. And it's really just been a great mix of, having a great community and a great school and great kids. So I think that it's been easier for me to grow in my faith as a coach when my eyes have been open to some of those things a little bit more, and understanding that, you know, God's placed these people in my life and probably placed me in these people's life as well. So really, just seeing how he's acted through that. I mean, it's truly a humbling thing. And so I think some of the humility that I've learned, or that people learn through the game of football, has helped me be humble and grow in my faith as well. And I think too, just maybe I guess to answer your second part here, football teaches so many life lessons, and it's part of why I like so much about football. I've coached basketball, I've coached softball, I've coached a lot of different things. Every sport is great, and every sport teaches life lessons. And, you know, to go back to why we're doing what we're doing, I believe all sports are really important for those type of things. They develop character, they develop teamwork, they develop mostly hard work and toughness. And you went through our program, I think you would attest to that. And it's not just our program. If you can make it through a full season of football, you've got to be tough, and you've got to be physically tough, and you got to be mentally tough. And those two things go hand in hand. So I like doing that. As far as what do I convey to my players that there's more to life, I have a lot of conversations with my guys. I love pulling them aside. You know, I can usually tell when something's not right with them, and I want to talk to them and try to get to the bottom of it. I hope that my players see me living that out as an example that there's more to life than football. Because I think through all the years, you know, I started out as a history teacher. I've been a principal, so they've seen me in those roles. And I've always placed an importance on teaching in the classroom. That's important. And then a lot of my players would, you know, through the years, we'd practice till 4:30 on Wednesday or 5 o'clock on Wednesday. And then they were going to see me at church on Wednesday night and see me there. And they're going to see me in different roles. And I think that's really important. That's an advantage that you have in coaching and teaching in a small town, because I don't know that you get that in a big school. But when your players can see you at church or at other events, or, you know, they're going to see me at FFA stuff, and I try to support an FFA program and different things like that, I think that they understand that there's more to life. And then I hope that they see it modeled with me, being around my girls, being around Marisa, us prioritizing, you know, our marriage. There's times that I've missed weight room for vacation or to be around the girls, and I just tell them that's what it is. Or, you know, there's times if something comes up with your family or extended family, say, guys, I got to go. You know, this is a family deal and I'm going to be there. And I think there's just a bunch of little things like that that I've tried to convey, and hopefully my players through the years have picked up on that.
Yeah, I definitely think they have. And seeing you in different roles, you know, the practice on Wednesdays and then turning around and seeing them at church on that Wednesday night. You know, there would be some times, I'm not going to lie, you know, when, you know, I'd be pretty upset with you at practice, and then I'd see you at church and I'd be like, well, you know, he's my brother in Christ. I can't be too upset with him. And I remember, I think it was FFA State Convention where I had y'all both up there to recognize y'all. And yeah, I think it got to you, and I was naming all their titles, I guess. And I was like, pretty much everything, just saw you all the time. Yeah. And both of y'all. It's awesome. I appreciate that answer. And this one's for both of y'all. Teaching is a very busy profession. It requires so much, not just physical, but from what I've seen, mental and emotional energy as well. So what are some things you do both, maybe as a couple and perhaps individually, to ensure that your faith stays at the forefront of your lives?
First of all, I want to speak to the busyness factor on that. I don't know that. And I think sometimes teachers say, well, it's such a hard job. And then the people are like, well, you got summers off and you get your breaks off. And I'm just going to contend that you don't hear that from former educators. You hear that from people that haven't ever done it. That's, you know, for me personally, you're never going to hear me gripe about nurses and police officers, because I think they have it really bad. And I don't know it, but it's like those are two jobs that I don't want to do anything with. And with teaching, it's very similar. And it's a very hard job for a lot of reasons. And it's been increasingly hard. You know, we have a continual shortage of teachers, and that shortage is growing, partly because we're fighting all kinds of things. So it is a very busy, and it is a very challenging job. And part of the problem is you don't turn off. You know, if I'm an accountant or a whatever, you know, if I work a 9 to 5, at 5 o'clock, I'm done with that job. And I don't know that people realize that with teaching, that's never the case. Even if nothing comes up, the teachers, educators, especially the Christian educators that we have in our school, they're going home and they're worried about little Johnny or little Sally or whatever, because they know something's not right in their life. And there's a toll there. There's an emotional toll there that weighs on you, and it's really hard. And I think that's where your faith comes in, and being grounded in your faith to get through those hard emotional tolls and mental toll that it takes on you. To be honest with you, this is an area that we can probably improve some. I do think
as a couple, I do think
there is one thing that we have done, and that's go to church. Mm-hmm. And some of those Wednesday afternoons that we were talking about, it's hard to go to church because it's about our only day that we don't have school stuff going. And if that, you know, it's really hard sometimes. But we have for as long as we've been married, we've always gone to church. And even if we're mad at people that we're going to see at church, because that happens in a small town, or if we're mad at each other, or if we're mad at a girl, whatever's going on, we've showed up and we've gone. And almost every time that we've been there, you know, you feel better afterwards. It's like, man, I'm glad I went to church. And I think that's really important. I think that that's God working in your life. And I think it recalibrates us and kind of puts some focus back on what's most important, which is God. Usually the things that we're upset about aren't, you know, huge things in the big scheme of things. Through the years, we've done just evening devotionals, and there's been times that, you know, those have been hard to keep going because it's a really late night because of basketball or whatever. But just squeezing in little things here and there, reading the Bible and praying, your daily disciplines obviously are really important. I think if you can squeeze something in. So for the last few years, I've had to drive the Votech kids to Votech and back. And, you know, at first, and it still was a pain sometimes, but I got to where I just throw the Bible on, you know, throw the Bible app on and listen to it and read through the Bible or go through a Bible plan. So, you know, the question would be, do you have 15 minutes a day in a routine or something like that where you can listen to the Bible for 15 minutes and pray? And if not, then maybe you get up early and do it. Maybe you close out the day with it. Whatever it is, that's what we've done. You know, we've recently went through watching the Chosen series, and that was a really good experience for us as a family. And I think it's helped all of our faith, which has been a really good thing. So
the girls had a lot of questions, and it provided an opportunity for us to help, you know, answer some of those questions and help explain, you know, stories in the Bible or situations or, you know, culture or whatever that may be. So that, I hadn't thought about that, but that is good.
I think too, we sometimes as Christians, we can be scared of technology because technology can be really bad. We know that. Trust me. I see it. We see it all the time as educators, how bad cell phones are, and they are really bad and they cause a lot of problems. For me, what it is it's like throwing gasoline on a flame. And if you have a problem in school, cell phones make it worse. But I will say that there are positives to technology, and you know, you can, the Bible, and I've heard your dad say that before, Joe, Uncle Joe, he's talked about that before. He said, you got the whole Bible right there in your hand, start reading it. And that's a good point, you know. And then there's a lot of good series out there that you can watch, and you can utilize technology to help grow your faith in a lot of ways. Podcast, listening to different podcasts, and there's things like that you can work it in. I saw today that Trey and Lee's marriage,
I was literally about to say that
they're in the top 1% of podcasts. So, you know, I think we can, in the fast paced world that we live in, I think you can kind of utilize it. I think you have to utilize it to your advantage.
I'd like to add, tagging right on to that, and technology, individually, I follow a lot of Christians on Facebook like Trey and Lee. And I think there's a fierce marriage page, and I follow several pages about marriage. And that's encouraging to me, you know, that I see every day. The job is very difficult mentally, and it really took a toll on me. And about 5 years ago, I made working out, you know, every single day a priority. And obviously it was really hard whenever the girls were young, but taking that 30 minutes or that 40 minutes a day to, you know, work all of that stress out and then let it go. And I do that as soon as I get home from school, let it go, leave it. And then I can walk away from it and I'm ready to be mom, or I'm ready to be wife, or, you know, now sometimes that stress tags on as well, but I think finding some time to be empty, you know, or to be still, so to speak, you know, to detach from that. Also, throughout the years, I haven't been able to do it every year. There is a women's retreat, Come Fill Your Cup, at Petty John Campgrounds. I used to go to that every single year, but now that our girls are showing livestock. That's the same weekend as the Tillman County Fair, and I'm not going to miss my girls showing, but so I've enjoyed going to those ladies retreats or Quartz Mountain ladies retreat. You know, this year, as you know, getting back to counseling at church camp was extremely fulfilling, for me. And, I can't wait, you know, to be a counselor again next year. I'm so excited, you know, about that. And I grew up going to Camp Lujo, south of Lawton, and I've already talked to my old counselor, about, you know, or my old session director about being a counselor, you know, there next year as well. It's going to get easier as our girls get older, for me individually to do some of those things because, you know, they're more independent or, you know, they're going to be at camp with me or someday, you know, Tinley and Andy can go to those women's retreats with me. But the job is very tolling, physically, but for me, it's mentally and emotionally and finding that time every single day to just detach for a little bit, work out those frustrations. And like Travis said, if you can squeeze in a, you know, a 10-minute Bible app devo, you know, here or there, or, you know, like we both said, we like following Trey and Lee's marriage page, and that gives us encouragement throughout the day to help keep our faith at the forefront of what's most important.
And I'll add on to that real quick, Tyler. The last few years have been really tough on us, and we've taken on too much. Mm-hmm. We've done too many things. In a small school, you get a lot of opportunities to do basically as much as you want to do because there's a lot of needs there. And so just in the last year, we sat down and we said, hey, we got to do something. We're going to prioritize our careers and neglect our marriage, or we're going to prioritize our marriage and our families and take a step back from some things career-wise. So we've made those decisions. We've made those choices. And, you know, I think we already feel a little bit of a burden lifted. And then that frees you up some mentally to focus on each other, focus on our girls.
And time-wise.
And then most importantly, focus on God. So sometimes you got to do that in your career.
Yeah. And it's not the easy decision because for me specifically giving up cheer, I felt like no matter what I did, I was going to be letting somebody down. But ultimately letting my family down shouldn't be, you know, a choice. It shouldn't even be an option. But, you know, you just, like he said, in a small school, you just feel compelled to help in every capacity that you can, or if you feel like, oh, well, you know, I'm able, I can do it. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that you should do it if it's pulling time away from your family or your marriage, or it's adding more stress or anxiety. And I loved every bit of it, but ultimately it was, you know, something that I knew, or we decided together that, you know, I could give up that would help us more in, you know, our marriage and our family and, you know, our everyday lives to be a little bit more free, not just physically, but mentally as well.
Yeah, you guys said a lot of good stuff there. And I want to mention just a few things. Travis, you mentioned, you know, going to worship sometimes being so difficult. And I actually just spoke up at Tuttle about worship as the topic I was given, and I said that, you know, honestly, sometimes when external things are bothering us, maybe there's stress, maybe there's sin, maybe there's whatever it is, relational conflict, that can be a temptation for us to kind of draw away from worship. And it's really in those moments when that's when we need to draw to worship even more. And it reminded me of James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Like in worship, perhaps that's where God's presence is most active, maybe the most, is when you do draw near to him. And that goes right into what y'all were talking about just then, is using the technology that we have. It's all around us. And so why not use it to stay grounded in your faith and to grow your faith as well. And Marisa, you mentioning exercise, I'm almost convinced, and Travis, you would probably know this exactly. I'm almost convinced that exercise is just as much mental, emotional, and spiritual as it is physical. What it does to you and how much it helps you. Because, I mean, all those reasons why people exercise sometimes it's not to get, you know, the body that you want. It's to maybe get the mind that you want and the focus that you want. And so I really appreciate those answers. There's a lot more there that we could dive into. And, you know, maybe dropping a thing, that temptation to just kind of do all, be in everything, and dropping something, I think can help us better shine our lights better if we're only involved in a few things instead of everything, and we're not spreading ourselves thin. I think that can be a really helpful tool to better use our mental and most importantly spiritual energy to help shine our lights even better. So just one more question, and you guys have pretty much, this has kind of been the whole theme. What advice would you give to younger or aspiring Christian educators?
There's so many things that we've talked about and touched on, you know, that, you know, I just feel like is probably the answer to this question. It's really easy to get wrapped up in the career. It's really easy to take on too many things. It's really easy to get too busy and to fill up your time and to fill up your schedule with all of the extra things. And it was just a couple of years ago, I remember I was getting ready for the homecoming parade as the cheer sponsor, and I was just like out of my mind stressed, because if something could go wrong, it was going wrong. And one of my students, a senior at that time, he said, "Miss Watt, every time I see you, you are just stressed out." And that hurt. Like it hasn't left me, obviously. And it was then that I just started thinking, man, is this worth it? Like if this kid, the only time that he sees me, I'm stressed out all the time. What example am I setting? And am I being, like you said, that light? And I would say, you know, to the younger Christian educators or those that are going into that field is, you know, you don't have to do everything. And it's like Travis said, it's, you know, it's also okay to let go of some things or to step away from some things. For me, it's been really difficult, but I've learned to start setting boundaries for myself and for my family as well. It's okay to say no. Now, I'm still going to stress about saying no, and I'm still going to worry about what other people, you know, how it's going to affect other people. But ultimately, you know, this is a career field where you can positively influence so many other people and be a Christian example just by your daily actions. But for me, if I'm stressed out all the time, I'm not being that example. And if I've got so much on my plate that my students only see me stressed and never see me smiling or bringing joy to the classroom or laughing, then what am I doing it for? I've lost my purpose. I've lost my focus. And so I would say to, you know, the younger educators, it is a job, but it is a job where you can, you know, shine the light. And if you're taking on so much and so many extra duties that you're no longer being the light or having joy in your life, then you need to step back and, you know, reconsider and weigh some options and what can you eliminate or what can you, you know, let go of, or how can you rearrange your time or your schedule so that you're finding, you know, that passion and that joy again, and ultimately that purpose of, you know, being a good example and, a Christ-like example and, loving and joyful and happy. And I've obviously gone through lots of phases in the 15 years in education. And I'm looking forward to this next year of being more joyful and not having so much weighing me down.
I think my advice would is pretty simple to somebody that wants to be an educator, and that's to do it. Just do it. Just jump in and do it. You know, I preached out at church camp on being in the light, being the light and being in the world. And the point of that was sometimes we have a tendency to pull away from the world, and we're not called to do that. We're called to be in the world, and we're called to be a light, and we're called to be an example. And Marisa just hit on that. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of ways to do that. There's a lot of career fields that do it. I think that you can do that in any career field. And I think that we've been blessed, and God has gifted us talents to be educators and coaches and those type of things. And I think that we're using that. I think that's the importance of the gifts that God has given you and the talents. I think God expects you to work and have jobs and get into the world and be an example. You can't be an example if you're not interacting with those people. So if you're a young Christian person out there that's thinking about being an educator or not, you're kind of planning on it, you're kind of worried, there's plenty to be worried about. I mean, it's tough, and there's a lot of things right now in our state and our nation. There's just a lot going on, but it hasn't deterred me any. At the end of the day, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth the struggles. It's worth, you know, there's other careers that pay more. You can make more money. You can be more financially stable. But you know, money's not important, and it's definitely not the most important thing. So my advice would be to do it. It's worth it. You won't regret it. I've talked to people a lot about this. I had some other things that I thought about doing. I thought about doing like a physical therapy or athletic training, or actually really like building houses and working construction, but I don't regret the choices that I've made to be an educator or coach or anything at all. And I can look back over the last 15 years and say, I've absolutely been doing what I was supposed to be doing. And in the big picture, you look back and you enjoy it. Even though you go through really hard times with it, you enjoy it. And I look back on the coaching side of it. I look back on the years that we struggled or things didn't go good and we didn't win state. And it's like, man, those years stick out to me. There were so many positives that came from those things. It's just hard to explain, but I think that's also how you know that God's working in your life, that you see him in the good and the bad times.
Yeah, I appreciate both of those answers. And Travis, sorry for being on a couple of those teams that didn't bring you home the home ball. the expectation was there. It's just the execution wasn't exactly always there. You guys,
teams work.
Yeah, you guys said a lot of good things there, and I know that this is going to be just a great conversation for Christian educators to look back on. And if there's any doubt that you guys have made an impact, I know that you have, just on our community, in our church, in my personal life, and in so many lives as well. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Tyler.
You bet. We appreciate you having us.
And we want to thank our partners over at Ministry League. They have a great resource for you. They got a YouTube channel, Instagram, Facebook. They have an app to download with a bunch of great resources to help you in your walk with God. I love using that app. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Road Trips.